Well, I'd like to thank the elders for giving me the opportunity to speak to y'all tonight. Tonight I'd like to discuss the song, Prepare to Meet Thy God. It was barely on the screen, but that's going to be the invitation song. So how about we turn in now, because that's going to be the subject of tonight's invitation. The content of the song is very important if you're not a Christian, or if you are a Christian but you're in sin and need to repent. So the first verse of the song, once y'all are there, it says, "Careless soul, why will you linger? Careless soul, why will you linger?" And those who don't obey, they are careless. As it says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 16. Let's turn in now, Proverbs 19, verse 16. We read here that those who obey are contrasted with those who are careless. It reads, "He who keeps the commandments keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die." So we see he who keeps the commandments, they keep their soul. But in contrast, he who is careless of his ways will die. So if you don't keep the commandments, you're careless, and as a result, will die. We must be ready, as Jesus explicitly says in Matthew 24, verse 44. Matthew 24, verse 44. Here Jesus explicitly says that we must be ready. He says, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." He's coming at an hour that we don't expect. We don't know when it's going to be. So because of that, he says we need to be ready. We need to be prepared for this. Also in the song 297, "Prepare to Meet Thy God," it says in the first verse, "Also hear you not the invitation." And "hear you not" just means don't you hear. Don't you hear the invitation? The subject of the song is invited, although there's no response. And sadly, this is all too much the case. Many people, usually when we have invitations, usually there's people who need to come forward, but they don't. But again, as Jesus told us, we must be ready. We need to be considering that. And then the song ends, verse 1 ends, saying, "Hear you not the invitation," which also is the title of the song. I mean, which also, the song is "Prepare to Meet Thy God," and that's how the first verse ends. It says, "Oh, prepare to meet thy God." Many are unprepared, and as a result, they fall, they perish. And we read that, Jesus tells us that in Matthew chapter 7. He tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. There are many who go into the broad way that leads to destruction, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So many find the way to destruction, but only few find the way to life. Thus, that many are unprepared. Now let's read the second verse. In it, the subject is asked, "Why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by?" There's really basically two options we have tonight. One, we can wait for a more convenient time, thinking that there's going to be a more convenient time, like Felix did in Acts 24, verses 25 and 26. Let's turn there right now. Acts 24, verses 25 and 26. Here, Paul is talking with Felix, and we see how he responds. It reads in verse 25, "Now as he, Paul, reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. Notice verse 26, he sent for Paul more often and conversed with him. So this, even here, he had many opportunities to be saved, but still he just waited for a more convenient time when he could have done God's will. But also Felix is a significant figure, and you can read about him in history, but sadly, we never read of a more convenient time ever coming. We never read of him converting to Christianity. And that's something that we should be thinking about right now. Is there really going to be a more convenient time than right now? I mean, look, the water's ready, isn't it? And of course, you may be thinking, well, there's tons of people here. I feel kind of shy. Maybe I don't really want to come up forward right now. It's going to be kind of embarrassing. I don't know, but that's not a good enough excuse. It's not going to stand on Judgment Day. I mean, just think years ago, all of the horrendous persecutions that are, like one song says, the faith of our fathers that they've gone through. Surely for the most important thing in our life, choosing to serve Christ, we can just this once be willing to get out of our comfort zone and do what's right. So, yeah, the first option is you can wait, but I hope you see, honestly searching the scriptures, that that's not a good option. The second option is to obey the gospel now and be saved. Or if you've already obeyed the gospel and are in sin, to repent now and come forward. Like it says, this is similar to what Paul himself did. We read in Acts 22, verse 16, after he saw Christ, and later he was told by Ananias, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." It says, now, why are you waiting? Ask yourself that. Why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? So those are two options that you have. You can either obey the gospel now or repent now, or you can wait. The song asks, "Why so thoughtless are you standing?" I'll let you honestly decide for yourself which of these two options is the thoughtless one. Now for the third verse. It speaks of the trouble caused by waiting. It says, "If you spurn the invitation till the Spirit shall depart, then you'll see your sad condition, unprepared to meet thy God." And when you think about it, all that's done now while we're alive, it's other than serving God, it's not really going to matter 200 years from now when you think about it. Like Jesus once said, in Mark 8, verse 36, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" When you think about it, will it even matter 300 years from now? Will 100 extra years make it matter? Just think, 300 years from now, it's still not going to matter. 400 years, 500 years, it's not going to matter. It's because it's going to be eternal, like Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 46. Here he gives you two options. He's speaking of people who did not obey him and didn't serve him in this life. He says, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." That's something for all of us to consider. And by the way, have any of y'all heard what's predicted to happen 3 million years from now? Actually, it's not what scientists tell us or anyone else. It's what Jesus tells us. Even 3 million years from now, we'll still exist, but we may regret the choice, what we decided to do tonight. That's how important this is and how important it is to not spoon the invitation like the song says. And Jesus doesn't make it. Surely we can trust Jesus, and I don't think you can be any more emphatic than he was in Mark 9, verses 43 and 44. This is what he has to tell us. Seriously, I don't know if you can be much more emphatic than this. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their wound does not die and the fire is not quenched. He continues going on saying it three times, two times after this. So clearly he's trying to really get this point across. We need to consider that. Do we want to go into a place, into a fire that shall never be quenched ever, not even 3 million years from now, in a place where the worms will not die, where maggots will keep on biting on you and infesting you, and you'll still have nothing to do ever? In conclusion, I basically have what the chorus of the song says. And what it says is, careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment unprepared to meet thy God. Let's turn to Acts 2, verse 37. Acts 2, verse 37. This is after Peter gave what we usually call the first gospel sermon. It says, now when they heard this, the first gospel sermon, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, when we read the Bible, we know what to do. Obviously, these people heard the word, and obviously we need to as well. We also need to believe the word. Jesus told us that in Mark 16, verse 16. He says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And the exact word, these people obviously believed when they said this, so Peter told them, repent. The first word he says in verse 38 is, repent. So obviously we need to repent. We can't remain in sin and expect ourselves to be pleasing in the sight of God. Paul also tells us that we need to confess the Lord Jesus Christ in Romans 10, verses 9 through 10. Romans 10, verses 9 through 10. Paul tells us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that's confession, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that's belief like we've just mentioned, you will be saved. But with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But that's not all. Just like we've read tonight, we need to be baptized as well. But also you may be surprised to hear this, but you've probably gotten it by now after all I've said. We can't just obey. We need to obey now. As Paul was told by Ananias, now I ask you, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Please do so now, as together we stand and sing.